When you think about your life, what were some of the most important choices you had to make? What were the things that you needed to take hold of in order to move forward? And what things did you have to leave behind? On today's episode of the Live a Meaningful Story podcast, we'll explore a bittersweet, tender romance about letting go, leaving the past behind, and deciding what we give our hearts to. Released in 2023, Past Lives was nominated for 2 Academy Awards, including Best Original Screenplay. First-time director Celine Song incorporates elements of her own story into this intimate tale. And while discussing this film today, we'll share pieces of our own stories of letting go and the importance of reauthoring our lives towards preferred narratives. Now, as you listen to this conversation, we invite you to reflect on what it means to let go of your past life so that you can fully embrace where you are in the moment. Welcome to the Live a Meaningful Story podcast, where we analyze stories and films that help us make sense of life. We are 4 friends with backgrounds in storytelling, filmmaking, teaching, and narrative therapy. Join us on our quest towards telling and living our stories more meaningfully. I'm Derek Hatch.
My name is Ning Tao.
Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Joseph Wilson.
I'm Jason Lin.
All right, guys. So we are at the top of a new month. You know, we've tackled these themes of origin stories, and we're going to tackle this theme of acceptance. I don't know. I think it started with you, Nick, wanting to do this film. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of looked at, well, what is this film really trying to say? And then out of that, we kind of found Joe's pick and Jason's pick, and we kind of created a month out of it. So I'd love to know, Past Lives, this is definitely a more recent film that we're doing on the podcast. And so I'd love to know what inspired you to pick this film.
The last 2 movies that were really emotional for me. The last one was After Sun, mm-hmm. which was, yeah. I think, the year before.
Yeah.
It was an A24 film. And the end of that, I just texted you guys immediately, like, you guys have to watch this movie.
Yep.
And then this year was Past Lives. Again, like, as soon as it ended, I was like talking it up big time.
Yeah.
And then started reading about it and then started discovering some more interesting things and then realized what kind of, like, how good this movie really was.
Yeah.
But emotionally, I was crying. I haven't really felt that deeply in a long time.
Wow.
So just simply for that reason, I offered it. And then from there, we started to figure out like what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and read the description real quick on Letterboxd, and then we'll hop right into this conversation.
Letterboxd.
Nora and Haesung, 2 childhood friends, are reunited in New York for 1 fateful week as they confront notions of destiny, love, and the choices that make a life. So this is our first romance that we've done, you know, ever since we rebranded the podcast here.
No, Wally.
Okay.
Wally is a romance.
Fair. Well, I forget Wally is everything.
I had a picture of how you just said that.
I was just listening to the to our podcast of that last night. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I've not listened to it yet.
I didn't listen to the one I made.
Yeah, not, that's how it is. Yeah. I listened to yours. This is really good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that ours are good.
So when talking about this film, Past Lives, was this shocking to you at all that this was Celine Song's, this was her first film?
Oh, yes. I did not know
this
that until now. And
this is
shocked.
Her first movie, which I think that was the most shocking thing for me was when I looked her up in the middle of the movie and I was like, I wonder what else she's made. I'm like, what?
Get her in another movie.
Because immediately from the first 5 to 10 minutes, you could tell that this is somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, she's a playwright.
Okay.
Yeah, so she has experience just in a different medium.
Yeah.
Which is what Nora is in the movie
as
well.
That's really cool.
So I was reading about it, and she just has to learn the rhythms of making film,
mm-hmm.
like all those, you know, details and schedules and whatever. But the core foundation of storytelling,
she has that.
She knows, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very personal to her, which is she's so convincing.
Biographical, yeah. Her husband is white American. She's Korean, and she has a story like this. So it's her story.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder.
because that opening scene was really effective.
I wrote that in my notes too. Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you write down, Joe?
What did I just say? Just great opening scene with the conversation, because like Nancy and I would kind of do that too. Like we like
I was too. I was like, who are these people?
Yeah. It's just like you're just kind of making a life for people that you don't know, but just how you could tell how awkward the situation looked from something afar, like just a husband sitting in the corner. It looks like the wife is flirting, because I thought the wife was just flirting with some other guy or someone that they knew. So it's like a whole different perspective. And then when you learn about the person's life or in story, then you're like, okay, I understand it now.
Well, that they're all like work friends or something. Like I didn't.
You didn't know.
No, you don't know.
Well, they asked that question. Who do you think they are?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the whole movie, is you are going to really think about who are they to each other.
Yeah.
You know, are Hay and Nora destined to be together? You know, what is the role of Arthur? Because the moment you see Arthur in that opening scene, you're like, he is outside of this, right? But then when you get to that scene near the end, you have a whole different perspective on who he is and what's going on in that conversation.
And a different respect for him too, to be completely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's kind of walk through the movie. So you've got the opening stuff in South Korea, where you've got Nora and Hae-sung and they're growing up together. And it's very much that, I mean, this was already the first thing I was connecting with, just that kind of like young adolescent infatuation that you have with somebody else. Mm-hmm. The thing that I kept like reminding myself of is like, it's not that deep of like a love. You know, it's just like we're friends, we hang out together, we like each other.
So we might as well be boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, then that's exactly how it is, right?
Very playful.
It is. Yeah. But then there's that moment where she finds out that she's going to leave. Mm-hmm. And this is another screenwriting trick here, is that a director will put in a theme statement at some point in the movie. If it's in the earlier part of the film, it's usually going to be someone besides the protagonist that's going to utter it, because it's going to summarize what the protagonist needs to learn. If the theme statement is in the third, like near the second end of the second or the third act, it's usually going to come from the protagonist themselves, because they've actually internalized and learned the lesson itself. So in this case, it's the mom who I think gives the big theme statement, where she says, if you leave something behind, you'll gain something too. And I think that's the push and pull of the movie.
Yeah.
Is she's going to leave Korea behind. This is almost, you know, I was thinking about Stranger Than Paradise, because this is almost like a different take on that whole idea of leaving your culture and going to embrace that identity, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got one person who's kind of leaving the Korean identity behind and fully embracing being American. And you've got Hae-sung, who is really Korean. Like, she says that over and over again in the movie.
She can't even identify with him anymore.
Yeah.
She's like, it's a deeper connection that she has, but only because she grew up with that.
Right.
But other than that, she can't relate.
Right.
She's like, I feel more Korean, but also somehow less Korean.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, you know, she goes and she lives this life in Korea. She, Hae-sung and her reconnect and they Skype.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I love the kind of three-act structure of the 12-year, right? Mm-hmm. And then
it just says it on the screen. I think that's the funniest part, 12 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think it says 12 years past.
Yeah, it does. But then I put LOL after.
Yeah.
12 years past.
Yeah.
But when you were mentioning with Stranger Things and like leaving the identity.
You mean Stranger Than Paradise?
Yeah, Stranger Than Paradise. He was completely leaving it because it was more of a like, what is it? Like, he just didn't care about that side of his life.
Right.
Like that culture side of his life.
Right.
But with her, it's like she was plucked out when she was younger. So she didn't even get to fully embrace that side of her until she was brought over to like into America, and then as she's going back and forth with his life.
Well, yeah, because she goes back and forth in the conversation with him on Skype, and then eventually she starts to realize, like, what are we doing?
Right.
Like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
she's got all these ambitions, he's got these ambitions, and it's almost like she's got like a part of herself that's going backwards by talking to him, and that's I think why she shuts it off.
Yeah, that scene hurt me.
Yeah.
Because I've been in that type of situation.
Yes,
yes. It's like, bruh, like, just tell me you just don't want, don't say, oh, you know, we'll talk eventually. And then like 12 years later, bro, don't.
Super friend zoned.
Yeah. Man, that hurts.
Yeah.
See, I've really felt for Hae-sung, like just that longing.
Yeah.
Where he's, there's an idea of the past that's almost romanticized and she's the face of that idea. Mm-hmm. And that's what he can't let go of because he's Korean and, you know, he, for whatever reason, despite him like physically moving forward in life, like he's aging, he's getting into a career, there's some piece of him that he feels like has been lost and that Nora took when she moved. And he's trying to get that piece back and he can't let it go.
Yeah.
He can't let the past die, as some say.
That wasn't me.
I'm sorry. It works too.
It's starting to spread.
But then, of course, we find that she gets into this house and then there's this guy that she meets, Arthur, and then they start to get involved with each other.
That pissed me off too.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, huh?
Boy, Hae-sung in the trenches.
Yeah, in the trenches.
But I kind of saw it as like symbolic of like she's going all into this life. Yeah. She's going all into being a playwright, living in New York. And Arthur is the embodiment of that.
Yeah.
Like she's going like sex. Like when you see like sex, like in a movie, like it's usually more than just sex.
Yeah.
And so like you have to think about, well, what is it actually saying? And I think that's what it was representing here is that it's being fully committed to something. And then obviously that consummates in them getting married that we find. And then that leads us into the third act, which is really where a lot of things come together. But I think one of the scenes that really stood out to me is the scene where they're in bed and they're having a conversation and he says that Arthur, and we don't know, like we don't know, we're purposefully being kept from a lot of things about Arthur. And I thought that was interesting. I was like, I can't really tell much about this guy yet. Yeah. I'm still trying to feel him out. I was almost waiting for a moment to reveal that he was some sleazy or not the right guy and that Hae-sung was.
I think he's waiting for that moment too. He's like, am I the villain of this story?
Yes.
He's waiting for the same thing.
And I think that's the biggest thing that surprised my wife was that never came. But it was a good kind of surprise.
Because that's not real. That's not reality. Like in these type of situations, it's not just one person being the full villain of the stories. Stories are complicated.
Yeah, it's another decent dude.
Yeah, yeah, it's another decent dude. And it's just like, oh, dang, you got two actually decent people in your life.
Yeah. And the moment I really felt for him was in that scene in the bed where he says that, you know, when you're asleep, you speak in Korean. And he's like, there's this whole other part of your subconscious that I don't even have access to.
Yeah.
That I don't even know. And like being married, like I couldn't even like fathom like how that would have felt.
That made me think of like, oh, wow. Yeah. Like I like with Nancy, like she's Haitian. So there's a whole other language that I don't know. It's like, wow, that makes me want to like learn her language more so I can like engage in these conversations. Because like even with her family, I can pick up what they're saying. But to fully know is something that I don't know.
She speaks Creole?
When her family's around. Mm. But,
same in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's like you said, there's a whole other side that you would get to learn because Arthur was learning for his wife because he wants to. So he's building those connections.
You wanted
her
to learn her.
Yeah.
Her subconscious.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I'm pretty sure I just speak gibberish anyways. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not the
Yeah. Now there's the moment where Hae-sung comes back, or he actually comes to New York to visit, because he's waited a long time, and now he's finally making that move. And the whole, like all the scenes of them together are so good because they're slightly awkward, but they're also charming.
Yeah.
When they're together. And there's this part of you that's like, man, they're
kind of. They could have worked.
They could have worked.
Natural.
Yeah,
they could have been a great couple. But but at the same time, there's also, again, she's a great filmmaker. She really is. Because, I mean, I think she's very intentional about the way she films and her angles and her shots. There's a scene where they're standing in front of a carousel and they're discussing their past and their whole history. And I'm just watching the carousel go round and round. And I'm like, that's what Haesung is on. He is on a carousel and he cannot get off. He is just going in circles with his whole life and he cannot let go and move forward. And she's done it. That's the thing, is she has moved forward. But
well, she hasn't. She has and she hasn't.
Yeah. It really got to me, you know, like with him, like just recognizing that he can't leave this behind.
Side note, do you notice in the movie that every single person in the background's a couple?
Mm-hmm. No.
I didn't know every single.
Every
I knew there's a lot.
Every single person, when they're on the bus, when they're on the bridge, when mm-hmm. they're on the carousel, every person in the background is a couple walking. It's not. No,
that's what he sees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I mean, he's surrounded by that. He's surrounded by what he wants.
Surrounded by couples all the time.
So in what way has Nora not moved on?
Well, there's a big part of her that she is suppressing.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
The way I looked at this movie was, so Roger Ebert has a quote that says, he doesn't cry in sad movies, but he cries when he sees movies about good people.
Yeah.
And these three people are trying to navigate really deep, complex inner healing things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all helping each other do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So as a husband, Arthur is charged with shepherding his wife through this complex relationship where he could just say, this is over, you're my wife.
Yeah, don't see him anymore.
But that would prevent her from really integrating all these parts of herself to heal.
Well, the fact that he encourages her to go and spend time with him.
That's a huge risk.
And then Haesung is not someone that's like barging into her life and demanding these things. He's like, I'm trying to heal too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a relationship together, which is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that kind of dichotomy, all of that together was something that was worth watching.
Yeah.
Well, that culminates in the scene where Arthur and Haesung meet, which, by the way, I read that was the first time those actors actually met.
I told you that. But Kyle told me that. So the first time these actors meet, so Arthur never even sees Haesung on set once. So when he walks in the door and Arthur creeps around the corner, like kind of timid, that's the first time they see each other.
That's really cool things.
Yeah.
Well, speaking on directorial stuff, they use a lot of like reflection shots and like tight corner shots. Mm-hmm. I noticed that a lot in the movie too. Like someone just looking in reflection.
Yes. Yes.
And then just like feeling like how like tight they were like in a specific scene. Cause it'd be like a whole bunch of wall and then just barely them in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, is that their mindset right now or?
Well, another great shot, which I think is the best shot of the movie, is when the three are at the bar at the end and then Celine cuts to just, she cuts out Arthur.
Yep.
And it's just the two of them talking while Arthur's not even in the picture while he's there. Like I literally I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was an awesome visual cue of how like Arthur can't even connect to this world. Yeah. And they're speaking in Korean. Yeah, so Arthur is so on the outside of
this
while married to this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool story.
Well, and one of the things that she talked about too is the way she wanted to portray masculinity in this film. Because Arthur could have been the dominant masculine, figure that just comes in and says, you're my wife, like you're with me. And
how dare you?
Or he could have been like a jerk to Haesung, but he's not. Like there's also like with masculinity, there comes a restraint, right? And that's kind of the restraint and looking out for what his wife needs. And it's like a very reasonable thing. Like there is some connection that she still has with Korea and that life. And Haesung is the representative of that.
Yeah.
And so he knows that she needs to reconnect with that in order to be a more fully well-rounded person. All the while, Haesung also shows in masculinity being able to accept when it's time to move on. And that's what the bar scene really is about getting him to.
Yeah.
It's getting him to the point where he can look and be like, okay, I need to let this go.
Yeah.
You know, I need to move on. And both of them show a sense of masculinity where it's not dominating, but it's acceptance, it's empathy. It's a lot of things going on.
It's strong.
And it's strong. Yes, absolutely.
Something really,
because you have to be strong in either of those situations.
Yeah.
There's two things that she shows to Arthur. One, where he's playing the video games. I thought I was really ready for her to start roasting
yeah.
American men.
Yeah.
Especially white American men.
Uh-huh.
She's doing all this deep, you know, cultural stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
studies.
Yeah. And then Arthur's just playing like Halo or yeah. zombies.
Yeah.
But also they show them in bed together and Arthur is cuddled up on her. So she's kind of like the anchor in the moment. Mm-hmm. Arthur's on her like a woman would normally be.
Cuddle.
I
literally said out loud, I was like, he looks like a chick.
Yeah. But that must be a very intimate thing with her in her relationship to just show a man that vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that scene right mm-hmm. there.
Well, yeah.
And then I think I have more, but it'll come.
Yeah, well, I don't think this is like that new age woke, oh, look at men type of stuff. Men are this, men are that. It's more like there is a whole nother side to men that is not betrayed and it's still healthy.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
I
it doesn't
totally
attack
agree.
Men at all.
No.
And what I liked is that Ha-Sung didn't stifle how he felt. He didn't say, well, I gotta, you know, move on from this in a way that just shoved it down and held it.
Well, and one
in
of the
bottle, he like expressed it, but he understood. Like he was like, I didn't know how much it would hurt liking your husband.
Yeah,
but I'm glad that I came here and saw this.
Yeah.
It was like, but he was glad that he came and saw it, and I really felt that. And I don't know if it's too early to say it, but them saying goodbye at the end, that was them both getting off the carousel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Going back. And that's why I showed
kiss.
That scene. I would.
You thought they were going to kiss?
I thought they were going to kiss.
I would be.
Like, that would have ruined.
I think that scene was perfect.
Yeah, no. The tension. And no thought that I have that they were going to be together.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that suspense, but I just was wondering what was going on. So let's get to the end.
Yeah.
Because before I watched the movie, I've read that this was like the movie of the year already.
Yeah.
And as I'm watching it, I'm like, okay, this is a good movie, but I'm like kind of like waiting for the moment to happen to where this really is the best movie of the year or one of.
Yeah.
But in that last scene, she's actually walking right to left to drop Ha-Sung off. She's going back into time to drop him off and let him go.
Dang, that's
and
good.
Then she walks from left to right to go into the future with Arthur.
Yes.
So it was really cool.
Good. That is amazing.
But what got me is when she breaks down and cries at the end because she's so strong and she's holding in so much. She does not break for 1 second in front of Ha-Sung. Yeah. She is like goodbye.
Yeah.
Like,
she's leading
showing
it.
Yeah. At all what she's really feeling.
Because he's not the one that gets to see that.
Yeah. Right. And so I was thinking this as we're all talking. I was wondering how much I was holding in watching it because as she breaks down, I broke down.
Yeah.
As soon as she lets go and hugs Arthur and starts crying and letting go, then I was overwhelmed with emotion. And then to watch Arthur console his wife.
Yeah, to comfort, even though she's crying, talking about it like another man.
It's really such a healthy story to watch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I really loved it.
This is the first time I think my wife has watched a romance where she wasn't rooting for two people to get together.
Yeah.
And I think that's wild, you know, because I was like, he needs to move on and she needs to be all in with her marriage. And that moment where she just sobs, you know, and she just, it's because it's just heavy. Like she knows what she's done. She's let go. She's released that into the past. And that's the hard part, right?
Yeah.
Is to let go of your past life, so to speak, is hard.
She didn't
you really feel it.
She didn't even know.
Yeah, it was then.
Like, unless Ha-Sung confronted it by coming, she wouldn't have known
that
would have accessed that part of her Korean identity.
Yeah.
Like, she's coming to terms with her Korean identity and coming to terms with her past and coming to terms with a past relationship all at once.
Yeah.
While in a marriage.
With married to a white man.
Yeah.
And it's like she gained something, but she did not realize the weight of what she left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now she can truly appreciate the weight of what she has gained moving forward.
And Tori and I talk about this a lot, but there's very few like aspirational men that you see a lot nowadays. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Arthur is very much, like, an aspirational...
Definitely.
Like, husband.
Yeah.
And when thinking about like our lives, like of letting go, because I think we all have had moments where we've had to let go of something from the past that we were holding on to. Because I think the thing that I was thinking about when I watched this movie, so Tori is from my past. Mm-hmm. We grew up 18 houses apart from each other. We went to the same elementary school. We were in the same student, right? Like she
18
is Winnie and what's the guy's
Kevin.
Name? Kevin. And
yeah.
Winnie.
She's the Winnie. Yeah. But she's the only part of my past that made it across, you know, the country. Right.
Yeah.
But even though, you know, we were married, this was about 6 months into our marriage. So we got married in June, 2014. And I know almost 10 years,
June months.
Just went to New York, celebrate our anniversary.
That's right.
6 months in, I was driving to work. I was working at the Breakers at the time at HMF.
Sorry, that is just so funny that all those type of stuff are just connected in this room.
Like, right?
Yeah,
like, I know.
That's that E! Noon.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Sorry, Derek.
No, you're good. So I was driving to work and I was having like, I was really depressed in my early months of marriage, not because of the marriage itself, but because we were in Florida. Mm. Because I felt like before I moved here, I had a really like successful, stable ministry that I had started that I had to leave behind and pass off. I had friends, like literally my entire like groomsmen, like my wedding party, like my wedding was in California. There were only like 3 people from Florida at my wedding. So everybody at my wedding, the 200 people that were, right? Like they were all behind.
Yeah.
Our families were all behind. Like everything was there. And I was like, what do I have here? I've got this exhausting job, you know, where I'm not even doing what I want to. I'm not doing what I love. And I'm at a church where I don't really know anybody.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what am I doing here? Like, why are we here? And I was just constantly questioning because I was still really, really anchored in that past life of California. I was really anchored in it. And I was driving in the car and I was listening to one of my favorite albums of all time, which is, it's by the Beatles. It's called Rubber Soul. And so I'm listening to Rubber Soul and I've heard this album hundreds of times. But it gets to a song on there called In My Life. You guys might have heard it. Really famous song, right? So it gets to In My Life and the lyrics start and it says, there are places I remember all my life, though some have changed. Some have changed, but not for better. Some have gone and some remain. Now, all these places have their moments with lovers and friends that I still recall. Some are dead and some are living. And in my life, I love them all. So the first verse and chorus is very nostalgic. Mm-hmm. And that's literally what I was feeling. Like that was it. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like that's what I'm feeling right now. That first verse. Then the second verse comes on and it twists the narrative. But of all these friends and lovers, there is no one that compares with you. And here comes my trigger word here. And these memories lose their meaning when I think of you as something new. Though I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before, I know I'll often stop and think about them, but in my life, I love you more. Mm. So I listened to that song and there was this overwhelming sensation that came over me. Call it a God moment, call it what you want, listening to the Beatles in the car, driving to HMF, but there was this overwhelming sensation that came to me that said, Derek, your past life is gone and you're never getting it back again. You have to leave it behind because while Tori is from that, she also represents your future and moving forward. And so when I watched this movie, that's what I really connected with. And that was my moment where I was bawling in the car, where I realized it. And that was the moment where I finally could move on. That's the moment where I could finally start to be all in here.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy, but that's where it started. And that moment when she's just crying and she's just, and I'm like, that's like how, you know, I just related to that so much, that letting go. So.
That's good. That song is perfect for this.
Yeah. Movie. It's actually my favorite. It's become my favorite song of all time because it literally represents, you know, the past and the present and holding them in tension. And that's a struggle I've had my whole life.
It reminded me of Arthur's conversation in the bedroom where he's like, you could have just married anyone. It could have been any guy that you that likes the same movies as you. And like, what makes it me that we're together? Do you even love me? Like, like, what's actually happening? And is this the life that we're really supposed to be living?
Yeah.
I thought that was an awesome conversation. And just like the idea of, this is what I chose. This is the life, and to be all in and to live it. Then choose to be all in and to live it. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Dope movie. Yeah. Super dope.
Yeah.
Probably not the best movie of the year, but up there for sure.
Yeah.
8.5 out of 10.
Jason, any final thoughts?
There is something that I do relate to that was really interesting to see played out on the screen, but when they're staring at each other at the end, right before the car comes, it's almost like you see the magnetism. Like, you feel like they're just being pulled right towards each other, but that's just not how it is.
Yeah.
And that's happened, I think, maybe definitely once or twice, way back before I knew you guys, where it was just like, there's no way that, you know, this isn't how it's going to be, and it wasn't how it's going to be. There's a couple people that I just felt like there was something pulling me right to them, like physically. It was weird.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows what that was? Who knows what that could have been? But
and then it wasn't.
It wasn't.
No, well.
And that's okay. And I've left that behind. But those are really intimate, hard, like painful moments at that realization.
It's so easy to live in those what ifs.
Yeah.
Like, what if I would have stayed here? Would I have moved further in this career? What if I would have pursued this relationship?
Yeah.
What if I would have stayed friends with this person? What if I would have gone to this school? Life is full of those what ifs.
But what ifs just keep you stuck.
Yeah, they do.
Because you're just going to be thinking what if all the time.
Because that's what Hae-sung is in. He's stuck in a giant what if.
Mm-hmm.
What if we were together? And it's not until he gets out of that I think he can actually be free.
Yeah.
He realized how different the world that she was existing in, which represented, was versus where he was going or where he is. And they just existed in different. And that's what I realized with these two people, is that, like, as strong as that connection was or felt, it was two different realms, two different worlds, it almost felt like.
Yeah.
There was just like an alien, like it felt familiar, but there was something that felt alien in the same sense. And that, like between Hae-sung and Nora, it's like they're so familiar, but they represent and are part of two very different things that aren't going to stay together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys sound like.
Yeah, I just remembered a line that Hae-sung said to Nora. He said that, to me, you're just a person that leaves. And when he said that, I was like, that is a hard thing to say.
Yeah,
but then he followed it up with something and he says, but to Arthur, you're someone who stays.
Yeah.
And that was such an amazing way to look at things. Like, to certain people, I am someone who leaves.
Yeah.
But to certain people, I'm someone who stays.
Yeah. Oh, and gosh, that's good.
That one was.
That's a hard
one. It was awesome. Like, you had to leave because your aspirations were too big for Korea.
Yeah.
And to me, you're just someone who leaves.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah, I thought that was a dig at first.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then but to Arthur, you're someone who stays.
Because he always would ask her, oh, you know, what's your big plans now? You're trying to win the awards for something else. You're trying to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Like, you've always been the person to
look
out.
Called her greedy.
So I'll end with this. So we've talked about on this show before, we talked about reauthoring, you know, your story. What do we leave behind? What do we embrace when we think about the story that we want for our lives? And Arthur represents the story that Nora wants for her life, while Hae-sung represents the story she's ready to leave behind. You have to have a healthy relationship with your past. You can't completely cut yourself off from it, but you have to be able to engage it in a way to where you take what's there and you bring it with you to the present moment, and then you move forward.
Can't throw the lightsaber behind you.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Two in one episode.
You can't do it. You just got to carry it and ignore it.
Yeah.
Or rebuild it.
We all need to have moments to reflect on our past life, whatever that is. And in doing so, to think about, well, how am I going to move forward and reauthor my life from there? And so if that's something you're interested in, then consider booking a free 30-minute discovery call with me. Because in this conversation, we'll discuss some of the ways that you can gain clarity about the story of your past, helping you to better understand it, while also getting a sense of the story you find yourself in currently and where you want to ultimately take it to. So all you have to do is visit the link in our show notes. You can book this free discovery call consultation with me. And we will be back next week to completely shift gears, staying on this theme of acceptance, but this time talking about a war story, something very heavy in action, and yet at the same time resonating with these ideas of how do we find our place and accept where we are. So we'll hope you join us for that. And until next time, take care. Thank you for listening to the Live a Meaningful Story podcast, produced by All Things Narrative. If you'd like to learn more about our coaching, workshops, events, please check out allthingsnarrative.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at All Things Narrative. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and tune in next time as we continue exploring the stories we love and the stories we live. Take care.